Okay, you got your Bible. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2, verse 13. I've titled this message, "The One Thing You Need to Know to Become the Person God Wants You to Be." The one thing you need to know to become the person God wants you to be. You got that? The one thing you need to know to become the person God wants you to be. I know we got some serious note takers in here, so let me give you a chance to take some notes. Philippians 2:13. I want you to take a moment to think about your eulogy. Your eulogy. You know what that is? The eulogy is what, remember at Nana's funeral, Uncle Jimbo did a eulogy, and Carter did a eulogy, and Uncle David did a eulogy. It's just a short speech or a written statement or written document where somebody stands up and praises someone, usually at their death, at their funeral. So you're standing up and you're saying good things about someone. So think about your eulogy. Let's say you've died and it's your funeral. Think about the kinds of things that you would want people to say about you. What would you want people to say about you at your funeral? As Christians, we typically want the same things in general. We all want to be known as Christ-like as Christians. We would want people to stand up and say, this person was Christ-like. She was so Christ-like. We would want people to say, list off Christ-like characters. He was a man of faith. He was a man of courage who stood up for Christ no matter the consequences. And she was a woman of compassion. He was a man who was always telling people about Jesus. She was a very, very generous person. You know what I'm saying? We would want to list off these Christ-like virtues. But if you're honest, then you're probably not today the person that you want to be known as at your funeral. Like, the person you are today is probably not who you want people to remember when you die. There's probably a gap, a chasm between who you are and who you want to be, who God wants you to be. You know, you want to be loving and you want to be mature and self-disciplined and compassionate and generous and a prayer warrior and all these things. And you look at your life today and you're probably like, I'm not that person yet. I'm still a work in progress. So I want to talk about today, how do we go from where we are right now, how do we move closer and closer to that person that we want to be, to ultimately God wants us to be, the person really that we can be proud of and that our family and friends can be proud of. Well, this verse, Philippians 2:13, is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It really tells us the one thing we need to know to become the person that God wants us to be. So I'm excited about this verse. Let's read this verse together, Philippians 2:13. It says, "For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose." For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to his good purpose. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible and you're trying to figure out what a verse means, it's good to read it in several different translations. And so let me read this verse to you in several different translations. The Amplified Bible. Have you ever read the Amplified Bible before? We have an Amplified Bible on our shelf. It's really cool. Here's what it says. What it does is it takes a verse and it kind of expands on it. It's almost like it's got running commentary in the verse. It says this, "For it is not your strength, but it is God who is effectively at work in you, both to will and to work, that is, strengthening, energizing, and creating in you the longing and the ability to fulfill your purpose for his good pleasure." That's a mouthful. It turned a short verse into a long one, but it really explains it well. There's a new version of the Bible. It's relatively new. I think it came out in 2011. It's called the Expanded Bible. I really like this one. It's basically a new kind of Amplified Bible. Same concept. But it says this, "Because God is working in you to help you want to do and be able to do, both to will, desire, and to work what pleases him." And then the New Living Translation says it like this, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." So here's the big idea of this verse, if I could put it in a nutshell. God is working in you to help you grow to spiritual maturity. God is working in you to help you grow to spiritual maturity. God is working in you to help you grow to spiritual maturity. The moment you become a Christian, right, and you listen, the moment you become a Christian, God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live inside of you. He comes to live inside of you. So as a Christian, God's living in you. That's what it says here. God is working in you. And what is he doing? He is working on your spiritual maturity. He's growing you in Christ. And it says that he's doing two things to help you grow. He's working in you to will and to work. That's what it says in this Christian Standard Bible. He's working in you to will and to work. And that means he's giving you the will or the desire. He's giving you the desire to grow in Christ. And he's giving you the power, the ability to grow in Christ. So the moment you become a Christian, God comes to live inside of you, and he's giving you the desire to grow and the power to grow. Now, that's really all you need to know to become the person you need to be. It leads to three principles. Here's three principles for you based on this verse, three powerful principles about spiritual growth. The first one is this: if God is working in you, if God is working on your spiritual growth, then you should be working on your spiritual growth, because we're called to imitate Christ. If God is working on your spiritual growth, that's what it says in Philippians 2:13. If God is working on your spiritual growth, then you should be working on your spiritual growth, because we are called to imitate Christ. The Bible commands us to imitate God. Ephesians 5:1 says, be imitators of God. So how can we imitate Christ? How can we imitate God? Well, we have to find out, what is God doing? What is God doing? What does it say in Philippians 13? What is God doing? The verse we just read, Philippians 2:13. What is God doing? Somebody help me. What is God doing? We're trying to imitate God, so what is God doing? He's working in us to grow us to maturity. So if God is working in us to grow us to maturity, then that's what we should be doing too. We should be working on our spiritual maturity too. God is working on your spiritual maturity. If you're going to imitate God, you have to find out what God is doing and then do it. God is working on your spiritual maturity, so you need to work on your spiritual maturity. This is what 2 Peter 3:18 says. 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Bible commands us to grow, to be working on our spiritual growth. Most Christians are not working on their spiritual growth. This is why I was just talking about, just in my prayer, I was praying, Lord, please revive the Christians in our nation, because as you know, most Christians, first of all, most Americans call themselves Christians, but we know that most of those people are not working on their spiritual growth. They're not working on their spiritual life. Most Christians are just existing. They're just coasting along. They're not striving to grow. All right, here's the second principle about spiritual growth based on Philippians 2:13. If God is working on your spiritual growth, then you can grow, because God can do anything. If God is working on your spiritual growth, then you can grow, because God can do anything. So we talked about this recently, about this phenomenon called growth frustration. It's whenever you know what God wants you to do, you know how God wants you to grow, and you agree with God. You're like, yes, I feel that desire. I want to grow in that way. And you try to grow, but you're unsuccessful. That's called, I call that growth frustration. And that growth frustration, God bless you, that growth frustration can lead to disappointment, and it can lead to giving up. You can say, well, I'm tried to grow, but I can't. What's the point of trying to grow? But if Philippians 2:13 is true, it says God is working in you to grow you to spiritual maturity. And God can do anything, right? Then that means you can grow. That means there's no addiction that you can't overcome, no bad habits you can't overcome. There's no character trait that you can't develop. God's working in you to grow you. God can do anything. That means you can grow. Philippians 4:13. Who knows that verse? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if God is working in you and God can do anything, then that means you can grow. Don't be discouraged. Mark chapter 10 tells this story, and I think it's the worst demon possession story in the whole Bible. Mark chapter 10. It tells the story of a man who had a little boy. So imagine you're a father, you have a little boy, and your little boy is possessed by a demon. Okay, now let me listen to this description. I wrote down the description of this demon. The demon made the child mute or unable to speak. The demon would often throw him down to the ground. The demon would cause him to foam at the mouth. The demon would cause him to grind his teeth and become stiff, like he'd fall on the ground and just stiffen up. The demon would throw the boy into these convulsions. It would cause him to fall on the ground and roll around on the ground. It would throw the boy into fire, like if there was a fire in the backyard or something, the demon would throw the boy into the fire, or would throw the boy into water to try to drown him. I think it's the worst demon possession story in the whole Bible. And so the father wants to help his son, so he goes to the disciples. He hears that Jesus and his disciples are miracle workers. So he goes to the disciples and he says, "Can you heal my son? Can you drive the demon out of my son?" And the disciples try, and they were unsuccessful. They couldn't do it. So then the father went to Jesus, and he said, "Hey, Jesus, if you can, please help us." He told Jesus, "If you can, please help us." So this is what Jesus said in Mark 10:23. Jesus said, "If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes." If you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. In other words, Jesus was saying, who do you think you're talking to? Or who do you think you're talking about? God can do anything. So the point is, if God is working on your spiritual growth, then you can grow because God can do anything. You know, if you want to be successful in life, all you have to do is find out what God is doing and then join him, because God succeeds. He wins. Well, what is God doing? God is working on your spiritual growth. So the one thing, if you want to be successful in life, the one thing you know you can be successful at is your spiritual growth. Because God wants you to grow, and he can do anything. So if you'll get involved in growing spiritually in Christ, you will be successful in life. It's guaranteed. Okay, here's number three, the third principle. This one's kind of negative. If God is working on your spiritual growth, then something is terribly wrong if you're not growing. If God is working on your spiritual growth, then something is terribly wrong if you're not growing. Think about it. If God is working in you, giving you both the will and the power, the desire and the power to grow, then if you're not growing, then something is terribly wrong. Something's not right. Because remember, God can do anything. And he's giving you the desire and the power to grow, but you're not growing. So we need to question, what is the problem here? What could be the problem? First of all, it could be that you actually are growing, but you just don't notice it because growth is slow. You know, during the summertime, especially if it's raining a lot, the grass grows a lot. Have y'all noticed that? But you can go in the backyard or the front yard during the summertime and you can look at the grass and you can't see it grow, can you? Like, you can just stare at it. Now, some people would say, yeah, you can in Louisiana, but realistically, you can't. You can go look at the grass, you could stare at it, you can stay out there for hours and you won't be able to tell that it's growing. But if you come back a week, if you let it grow for 2 weeks, it'll be overgrown big time. It'll clog up the lawn more. So growth is hard to detect in yourself a lot of times because growth can be very, very slow. So it could be, if you feel like you're not growing, it could be that you are growing. It's just growth is slow. And let me say this. I've said this before. I've come to believe that if you're a Christian, because of this verse, God is working in you to give you the desire and the power to please him. If you're a Christian, then I believe you will grow. You can't help it. You can't help it. You will grow. But the thing is, if you're not cooperating with God, your growth is going to be painful and it's going to be very slow. You won't grow as much and you won't grow as fast, but you can't help but grow if you're a Christian. But it could be that it's going so slow that you don't notice it. Here's another possible cause if you feel like you're not growing. It could be that you're not working on your spiritual growth. For growth to occur, you've got to cooperate with God. God's working on you. You've got to work with God. The way that Scripture teaches us is that only God can grow you, but you're only going to grow if you're doing everything you can do to grow. Only God can grow you, but he's not going to grow you unless you're doing your part, unless you're, you know, doing all the spiritual disciplines and stuff like that. It's the only way you're going to grow. So it could be that you're not working on your spiritual growth. Here's another possible cause for no growth. It could be, and this is pretty depressing, it could be that you're not saved. Have you ever thought about that before? If somebody's not growing in Christ, it could be that they're not saved. Because God is working, if you're a Christian, God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to grow. So if you're not growing, maybe God's not in you. Maybe you haven't been saved. And so here's the application if you're not growing. First of all, make sure that you're saved. If you feel like you're not growing, make sure that you're saved. What do you need to do to make sure that you're saved? Give me some ideas. Give me some thoughts. What do you need to do to make sure that you're saved?
Repent and confess.
Repent and confess. Jesus is Lord. Okay, what else? To make sure that you're saved, what do you need to do?
Question what you're relying on.
Are you relying upon good works, your good works to save you, or are you relying upon the death of Jesus Christ? What are you actually trusting in other words? What else do you need to do to make sure that you're saved? Right, and you need to be listening to this. What else do you need to do? How about you got to make sure that you actually call on Jesus to save you? You have to make sure, has there ever been a time when you said, Jesus, I want you to come in my life and save me, be my Savior and my Lord, and grow me, make me into the person that you want me to be? So you need to make sure that you're saved. Here's another solution if you're not growing, and that's simply to get to work on your spiritual growth. Get to work on your spiritual growth. The reason why many Christians don't grow is because they choose not to grow. You know the law of the harvest. Have you ever heard the law of the harvest? It's one of the most fascinating things that the Bible teaches. The law of the harvest is you reap what you sow. You've heard that before? You reap what you sow. In other words, you harvest what you plant, okay? And so why are some people not growing? It's because they're not planting seeds of growth. Why are some people growing? It's because they're planting the seeds of growth. You see, you reap what you sow, always, always. It's a law. It's a universal law. It's like the law of gravity. You can't break it. If somebody's growing, it's because even if they don't realize it, they're planting the seeds of growth, and so they're reaping a harvest of growth. If somebody's not growing, it's because they're not planting those seeds of growth. And so how do you plant those seeds of growth? How do you work on your spiritual growth? Okay, let me give you five ways to work on your spiritual growth quickly. Five ways to work on your spiritual growth. This is nothing new, but it's important to review all the time. We have to remind ourselves that these things don't change. We got to stick to these things or get back to these things. Five ways to work on your spiritual growth. Number one, you got to know the goal. You can't hit a target that you can't see. You got to know the goal of spiritual growth. So what are we trying to become as Christians? We're trying to become like Christ, loving God and others more and more. Becoming like Christ, loving God and others more and more. We're trying to become like Christ in our character, our conduct, our convictions, our beliefs and our behaviors, and we're trying to, and ultimately what that means is loving God and others more and more. That's how we're trying to grow. All right, so know the goal. And 1 John 2:6, it says, the one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. That's what it means to grow in Christ, to walk just like Jesus walked. That means to live as he lived. And then Mark 12:30-31, the great commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. So spiritual growth means becoming like Christ, loving God and others more and more. That's the Christian life. Okay, number two, a second way to grow in your spiritual growth, a second way to focus on your spiritual growth, to work on it, is focus on staying close, not just trying. Focus on staying close, not just trying. How many of you have heard me talk about this idea before? So to grow in Christ, you've got to exert all the effort. We're in a battle for spiritual growth. We're in a spiritual battle. To win the battle, you have got to become like a spiritual athlete. You've got to exert all your physical, mental energy, emotional energy, but you have to realize that that's not enough. You know, it's just not enough. And so Jesus gave us the key to spiritual growth, and John 15:5. He says this, I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. Or you can do nothing apart from me. So Jesus says the key to spiritual growth is he's like a vine, or he's like the trunk of a tree, and we're the branches. And the fruit comes off of the branches. But the only way that the fruit, and the fruit is the spiritual growth, the only way that the fruit can come off of the branch is if the branch stays connected to the vine. And so Jesus is saying, here's the key to spiritual growth. Stay connected and fruit happens. Stay connected and fruit happens. In other words, keep that constant, close connection to Jesus, and he's going to bring about the growth in your life. And so instead of just trying to be more patient, trying to control your temper harder and harder, trying to say no to that particular temptation harder and harder, that's good. But focus most importantly on the relationship with Jesus. Focus on that building and that intimacy with Jesus, that love, tight connection with Jesus. And then as you do that, he's the one who causes the growth to happen over time. He's the one who gives you the power and the strength and the ability. So stay close. How do you stay close? How do you stay close to Jesus? What do you think? Give me some ideas. Bible reading and prayer. Okay? What else? How do you stay close? How does a person stay close to Jesus?
Church.
Yeah. Going to church. Just doing what we're doing right now. It's all about habits. It's all about the right habits. Rick Warren, I talked about him this morning. He said, you're the sum total of your habits. You've got good ones and you've got bad ones. But the things you habitually do are the things that make you. The key to spiritual growth is developing good habits. And you've probably heard this statement before. First, we make our habits, and then our habits make us. It's all about your habits. So if you want to stay close to Jesus, you've got to develop these habits that will help you stay close. We just talked about them. Sunday worship. That needs to be a priority in your life. And we're constantly telling the kids in our church that when you grow up, you've got to make Sunday church a priority. Your mom and dad aren't going to make you go to church. It's something you've got to decide to do. Sunday church has got to be a priority. There's a big difference between Christians who go to church every Sunday and Christians who do not. There's a huge difference. They've done all kind of research on this and shown there's a huge difference between Christians who go to church every Sunday and Christians who don't. There's a huge difference in their marriages and the way they raise their kids and the way they live their lives. In other words, you need church. I hate to say it. We need church. We need each other. It makes a big difference in your life. I think so many times as Christians, we think too highly of ourselves. We're like, I can make it on my own. I don't need to take time to read my Bible. I don't need to take time for a quiet time. I don't need to take time for church. I'm strong enough. I'm mature. Listen, you're not. And you've got to come to that realization. So Sunday church, daily quiet time, home group, serving at church, tithing, witnessing, these are ways to stay close to Jesus. As you stay close, fruit happens. Here's another way to work on your spiritual growth. Work the steps to full devotion. So you've heard the 9 steps to full devotion in our church. Spiritual growth, you can think of spiritual growth, and this is a great way to disciple your kids, is helping them to take their next step. Think of spiritual growth as a series of steps. And if you want to grow, keep taking your next step. And so at Church Acadiana, we've identified 9 real basic steps of spiritual growth. Sunday worship, that means making Sunday worship a habit, a priority. 2, trust in Christ for salvation. Have you taken that step? That means getting saved. 3, baptism. Adalia, you were talking about baptism. That's an important step. Your mom and dad are leading you to take. That's good. Home group, that's another step. Daily quiet time. A lot of these are those same habits we just talked about. Joining the church, that's another spiritual growth habit, joining the church. 7, find a significant way to serve. 8, tithe. 9, witnessing. Think of these as steps and take your next step. Here's another way to work on your spiritual growth. This is 4. Read great Christian books. Read great Christian books. Og Mandino is a cool author that I've enjoyed some of his books. He said this. He said, you will be the same person in 5 years as you are today, except for the people you meet and the books you read. You will be the same person that you are today in 5 years, except for the people you meet and the books that you read. Of course, the main book is the Bible. Andy Andrews, he says, we are where we are because of our best thinking. And if we want to keep improving, we must transcend that level of thinking. You ever thought about that? Like you are where you are in life because your best thinking, your ability to think as good as possible has gotten you where you are. So if you want to move beyond that as a Christian, you've got to improve your thinking. You've got to develop your thinking. The way you think determines how you behave, and you do that by reading great Christian books, by studying the Bible. Andy Andrews also said, one idea has the power to transform your life forever, but you must first recognize it. In other words, there's a spiritual growth idea out there. There's an idea out there that you need that'll take you to that next level. But you've got to go find it. It's out there. It's in some Christian book. You just got to go find it. All right? Here's another thing Andy Andrews said about reading. He said, what do you call a child who reads 2 books a year? Slow. What do you call an adult who reads 2 books a year? Normal. Amazingly, the national average for books read by American adults is less than 2 books a year. Ben Shapiro, he said, how do you become an expert on anything? Read a book. Just one book, because that will be one more than anybody else is reading. He said, nobody reads anymore. Literally, these days, people are so not readers that you can read one book and suddenly you know way more about a particular subject than just about anybody you'll meet. And so if you want to grow, read great Christian books. One of the things that you can do is you can look at the list that we have on our church website if you're not sure about what Christian books. I've developed a series of reading lists, some of the best Christian books. But another thing you can do is you can figure out how do you want to grow. Let's say you want to learn more about theology, doctrine. And so you can come to me and I can help you come up with the best 3 to 5 books on doctrine. Or you say, hey, I want to learn more about apologetics. And I can help you come up with the best 3 to 5 books on apologetics. And just read those books and you will grow. Or you can say, hey, I want to grow in witnessing, evangelism. I'll help you find the best 3 to 5 books on personal evangelism and read those books. That's how you grow. Here's one more way to work on your spiritual growth. Ask God to help you grow. It's number 5. Ask God to help you grow. In other words, pray. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. A lot of times in life, we don't have what we want because we've never taken the time to ask the Lord. If you want to grow, you need to ask God, beg God, cry out to the Lord, Lord, help me grow. Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So, let me conclude. Let me close this thing. Philippians 2:13. It says, for it is God who is working in you both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. In other words, God is working on your spiritual growth. God is working on your spiritual growth. That means you should be working on it too, because you're called to imitate God. That means you can grow because God can do anything. And that means that if you're not growing, something is terribly wrong. And so get to work on your spiritual growth. You might be thinking that a lot of this stuff you've heard before, but it hasn't worked. Here's a quote from a man named H. Richard Niebuhr. He said, the great Christian revolutions come not by the discovery of something that was not known before. They happen when somebody takes radically something that was always there. A lot of times we know these things, we know these principles, but it isn't until we actually start practicing them that they really make the difference. And I've noticed that in my life, I'll hear the same message about something I need to be doing over and over again until I finally start doing it, putting it into practice. That's when I really start seeing the change in my life. And so I want to encourage you, let's get to work on our spiritual growth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, Lord. And we thank you so much, Lord, for giving us the desire and the power to grow and for reminding us that we can grow. That growth is available for us, that we can become more of the person that we want to be. We can become more Christ-like, more loving, more generous, more compassionate, more self-controlled, more wise, more giving. That's exciting, Lord, that you have that in store for us. Help us, Lord, to pursue spiritual growth with all that we are. Help us to work on it, to do what we need to do, Lord. And grow us into the people you want us to be. Help us remember that this is all leaning upon grace, that we don't need to strive for spiritual growth in order to get to heaven. This is because we've been saved, because we're loved by you already, and we've been called to a superior life, an abundant life. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to grow this week. Help us to seek you with all of our hearts this week, Lord. We ask you to use us in all of our encounters with people this week. Use us to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.